at 11:30 so we can enjoy the day, celebrate, and go out and eat and everything. So, but you know, I read an article. You know, it was a real quick article, and you know, we take life for granted sometimes, and the way things are. But I saw that in the United States, 700 moms, or to-be moms, die each year in the United States having a baby. 700. Just normal, gonna have a baby. And a lot of them, it's not during the delivery, it's like after the delivery, whether infection or some other various issues, okay? Now, we have almost 4 million babies a year in the United States, and so if you did the, someone could say the percentage is, well, it's not that, and it's pretty low percentage. The odds are in your favor. But if you're the one, it doesn't matter what the odds are, right? And that's like anything. Hallelujah. But God's still in pursuit. God's still in the manner of bringing the fullness of his reality in humanity. Amen. Hallelujah. I always tell my mother she's the best mom in the whole wide world. What else would I say? Right? She thanked me. She told me that, you know, let's just put it this way. I always tell her she's the best mom. Amen. She always says that's because I live so far away. I say that. But it's not true. Amen. And I think every child should think their parents are the best parents. I know that we live in a day and age where children, you know, it's funny. I talk to people at work, even what I, you know, they're not believers. They're not professing Christians. And they think the same way in the aspect that, you know, kids today have very little respect for their parents. And, you know, it's just not the same as things used to be. And I'll tell you, I see a big, big change, a lot of changes. You know, it's like coming to church, you know, going to church. You know, in the old days, you could tell people loved Jesus, even if they did not have all the understanding that we do today. They had a pursuit to know him, and I really do think that's what we should do also. Amen? Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. So on Wednesday night, we started in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to do just a quick little recap because I want to get through. This whole chapter here starts off with, and we must understand this, the point of this is it's the progress or a journey that Elijah is going to take. He's going to bring Elisha along with him. The end result of this, it was right in verse 1 when the Lord was going to take up Elijah to heaven. How many want to go to heaven? Now, depending on your definition of heaven, right? For most of Christianity, heaven is somewhere up there. And I have no problem if you want to label that the heavens, okay? But the heavens, if we understand anything about the Bible, if we understand that he shows us natural things so we can comprehend spiritual things, what he's really talking about is when he was taking Elijah up to heaven, right? He was taking him into a realm of the spirit that was not ordinary or normal for natural man. How's that? Even though Jesus would come and he would express that in the Mount of Transfiguration, he stood right there on natural ground and he expressed the realm of heaven. He even told them when he walked in the earth, he said what? He said, look, I'm in heaven right now. Because it's the realm of the spirit. Amen? And so he was going to take him up. So the first, I think I labeled or put the other day, the first stop on the journey was Gilgal. I'm not sure if I put it in that order, but that's what they, that's what I, it's a journey, isn't it? We also must understand that Gilgal is a picture of the outer court. It's the first place, it's initial salvation. It's the first place along the path, the journey, the walk. Jesus said, I am the way. So it's the first place along. And if you remember on Wednesday night, oh, I'll say this again. If you have any desire to cross the Jordan, what's that mean? Defeat the last enemy, death. You will have to walk through every step of the way, spiritually speaking, from Gilgal all the way to Jordan. And can I say it like this? Not in a legalistic sense. There's no skipping any steps. Are you with me? Watch. Like Jesus said, and we talked about this the other night, right? Did we not? He said, unless a man be what? Born again. And so we talked about that. You have to have faith towards God, don't you? Repentance and faith, they work hand in hand. You repent, have faith toward God. Unless you do this, you cannot what? See. You can't even see the kingdom of God. Right? So Joshua had them build a memorial, 12 stones out of the water, 12 stones in the water. When the priest came out of the water, the 12 stones were still there. And what happened? The river of death came right back around it. Kind of reminds me of when Haman made a decree to kill all the Jews. But Esther came along with Mordecai, got the king to issue a new decree, which was what? They could fight back and save their lives, overcome the enemy, right? And even though that law is a higher law, the old law was still in effect, wasn't it? Wasn't it? Listen, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has been enacted, hasn't it? But the law of sin and death still flows. This is why you and I, it's not an automatic, must understand that it's not an automatic, must understand that we have to overcome. All right? So, they got a new birth, didn't they? They were justified. They walked by faith, didn't they? The blood of Jesus brings us into that dimension. Hallelujah. You should be able to say hallelujah. The second thing that happened in Joshua 5 there was they did what? They got circumcised, didn't they? You remember? And circumcision, if you remember, Jesus said, unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, you can't enter in. We read in Galatians 3, verse 27, there's only one way into Christ. How do you get there? Circumcision. It's the covenant. If you have not been circumcised, you are not in Christ. That's not very nice to say. Well, I'm only reading the Bible. I'm just telling you, here's the words of the Master. You can't enter in. You can't come to fullness. It's totally impossible. All right? Are you with me? So they circumcised. By the way, I just want to let everybody know, even if you've been water baptized, there's still two more circumcisions. There's a circumcision of the Holy Ghost and a circumcision of fire, isn't there? Three baptisms, aren't there? One baptizes of water, the other baptizes of what? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit, and of fire. Am I right? Are you all right? Okay. So, if you turn with me to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. And does everybody remember now? Why did Joshua have to circumcise everybody? Anybody? Do you remember? It's because they traveled through the wilderness for 40 years, and all the men who were circumcised, right, did what? They died. And the Bible says because they disobeyed, they could not go into the land. And one of the areas they disobeyed was they did not get their own children baptized, circumcised. Mom and daddy, they were, but not the children. So they had to get circumcised along before they could enter into the land. The interesting thing also was that they had to, after they circumcised them, you know, because they did it in the natural in the Old Testament, they had to wait till they were whole or healed, you know, before they could begin to do anything else. I think that's a really good spiritual thought, that we must be whole or healed from circumcision. Let it do its work, right? It's an operation. Isn't that what Colossians calls it? An operation's by what? Faith. When it works in your life, you'll be made whole and you'll be able to pursue exactly what God is after. Amen? Okay, so verse 9, Joshua chapter 5, verse 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you, wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Remember, do you remember what Gilgal means? The roll away. It means a wheel. Remember that? And a wheel gives you a picture of rolling away, or it rolls away. How many know there was a reproach in Egypt? Are you with me? There's a reproach in Egypt to roll away that which is from. Well, one of the things about Egypt is, what's interesting is this. The children of Israel, when they were down in Egypt, it's obvious to me they still practiced. Now remember, where did the covenant of circumcision come from? God said to Abraham, listen, this is the covenant between me and you. It's circumcision. This is what brings us together. It tells the whole world. Look, one of the things that the Israelites used to say in the Old Testament, this was the difference. What, right? You uncircumcised Philistines. There was a difference between Israel circumcised and the rest of the globe. Watch this. The difference between the house of God and the non-house of God is believers and unbelievers. Circumcised or uncircumcised. Are you with me? And I use the word, I use the term believers. Watch. Believers just doesn't mean a mental assent. It encompasses a pursuit of a relationship in the presence of God. All right? But he says, I rolled away the reproach of Egypt. Now, Egypt is what? Man, it was the land of what? Milk and honey. Wasn't it? But it also was a place of what? Limitations. Turn with me. Let me see. Where do I want to go? Ephesians, I think I want. Let me check. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. And this has to do with circumcision, but it also has to do with rolling away the reproach. Verse 11, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, where? In Egypt, right? Who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, or through Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He rolled back the reproach of the unbelief realm. Egypt, the place of limitations. Even though it was a picture of the kingdom, even though it's a picture of naturalness, successful in all of its attributes, it still was not what God was pursuing. So he rolled back the pursuit or the reproach of Egypt. Let me see. Hang on one second. The word reproach means the disgrace. Are you with me? The rebuke, the reproach, watch this. It means the shame. God rolled back the shame that day off of the children of Israel. Are you with me? Turn with me. Let me see. Where is this? Hang on. I wasn't planning on going there, but I think I will. Going to have to give me one second. I just got a thought and I'm going to have to look it up. Is that all right? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Watch this, verse 14, are you ready? I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Watch this, here's the reproach that God has rolled back. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father. This is why he rolled back that shame. All right? But is of the world. And the world will exist forever. No. And the world passes away. Why do so many people hang on to it then? Yeah. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Amen. So God rolled back the reproach of Egypt. All right, back to Joshua 5. I don't know about you, but we ought to be excited that he rolled back the reproach. He gives us whatever. Look. Are you ready? If you walk in a spirit of repentance and by faith, you get a new birth because of the blood of Jesus. Right? Is that not the case? And then the next step along the path here, in Gilgal still, which is still the beginning, if you walk into the waters of baptism and you get circumcised, he rolls back all the shame of the world that you ever had in your life. Are you with me? That does not give you and I an excuse to continue in sin. Because God rolls it all back, should we continue in sin? God forbid. Right? And if we don't think that's true, I just talked about Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus, whether you realize it or not, look, he was a murderer. What's your view of murderers? Yeah. And he was killing Christians. And God rolled back the reproach of everything he did. You know, it's funny. I was listening to my dad from the other night on Friday, and he says, you know, when Paul said in Philippians, he said, I was a Pharisee above the Pharisees. I was righteous of the law. And my dad said, I always wondered, you know, here's Paul, Saul, was out killing people. I wonder what part of that law he was righteous above everybody else about. Yeah. Yeah. It was a good thought. Because the last time I checked, still, even in the top 10, what we call the top 10 commandments, thou shalt not what? Kill. Are you all right? Okay, verse 10. I'll spend a little bit of time. I'll try to be done in the next few minutes. Here we go. Verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal. This is where they were. They were in the outer court. Are you with me? And kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at evening in the plains of Jericho. Now, why do you think he put this in there? It's quite significant. What's really interesting is this, that the whole time they were in the wilderness, well, I'm assuming the whole time. I know that when they came out in the second year, it says that they kept, you know, Moses spoke to them again, and they kept the Passover. Now, does everybody remember what the Passover is? I think it's significant that this is here and that they kept the Passover at Gilgal. Do you know why I think it's significant? Just in case we don't think what is being said here is not the case of initial salvation, the very first feast is what? Passover, which is a picture of the beginning. It's not how we start the race, it's how we finish. But we must compete properly even at the starting line, correct? You can't just, you know, skip all the steps. I always laugh. I always have Seinfeld references, you know, because I like them, because it's funny, because it's about people. But Jerry always talks about a time when he won a race. And so they had a re-race, right? But he still left before the gun went off. And he still thinks he won. We can't leave before it's time. Are you with me? So they kept the Passover, all right? They kept the Passover because God was showing them that, look, this is part of what must take place in your life. Now, does anybody remember? I don't have time, maybe, but it doesn't hurt to refresh. What's the Passover all about? God passed over with the death angel. But they had to do something, didn't they? It wasn't automatic. See, this is the part we as believers really need to get. That, you know, there's a lot of messages about automatic, but it isn't automatic. They had to do what? They had to go get a lamb on the 10th day. Now, do you realize? Watch this. They crossed the River Jordan, Joshua and the crew, on the 10th day of the first month. Oh, it must be an accident. And I'm not perfectly positive, but I'm imagining about the time, if they had to keep the Passover on the 14th day, that they probably remember. So from they crossed over from the 10th day, got circumcised, had to wait a few days to get whole or healed before they could even celebrate, get ready. I'm thinking that they were hurting for about 3 days. That's just me. You know, don't take that as gospel. But they had to celebrate on the 14th day, didn't they? Because Passover took place on the 14th day. Why 4 days for that lamb? It had to be inspected because it had to be perfect. It had to be without spot. It had to be without blemish, didn't it? It's the whole point of what God is trying to get you and I to understand, that we as living sacrifices must be, watch, be not what? God, should we go to Romans 12? Be not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the what? Oh, just get some knowledge and everything will change. No! I literally have heard messages, well, you can't renew something that you never had before. It's like a magazine. If you had a magazine subscription, well, guess what? It's just get a renewal. No, you've never had this mind before. Even though there's a lot of people who preach and make you think that you did. And the reason we like that is because our flesh likes automatic things. We don't have to do anything. But I want to ask you a question. What was the Passover about? It was about first fruits. You remember? Do you remember that? It's all about first fruits. The Passover principle, are you ready? Is about tithing. It's about bringing your first fruits. This is why he instilled it right here. You have to bring the best. Are you with me? If that's not the case, then Jesus would have never been the lamb. Jesus became the tithe in the Passover, wasn't he? Now, a lot of folks don't like to talk about tithing because the only thing they ever think about is money. And by the way, tithing took place before the law, during the law, and after the law. Tithing is not one-dimensional, it's three-dimensional. Just like everything else in God. Are you with me? But our problem is because most of churchianity has always been about the natural. They only look at the money. And, you know, a lot of preachers, they'll preach messages to get you to give your money. Why? So they can get rich. Or live a comfortable life, whatever. Literally, I know people really close to them that they think that if you're a pastor, you shouldn't work. That the people should support you. I have a different point of view. My point of view is, are you ready? Seriously. God can work any way he chooses. Are you all right? Now, tithing, and you've heard me say this before. Are you ready? Tithing. In the Old Testament, the word actually means a tenth. Okay? I told you this story a zillion times. I had a friend who said, it doesn't even talk about tithing in the New Testament. Well, that's because the New Testament or the New Covenant tithing is what? It's 100%. Right? Okay. Now, when I talk to you about tithing being three-dimensional, here's what it means. Are you ready? I wrote this down. The giving of the tithe. That's one dimension. You'll do it because you know it's the right thing to do. And you'll determine how much you'll give. Are you with me? The second thing is how you give the tithe. Are you with me? How's your heart towards it? How's your mind towards it? What's your attitude? What's your reason? And the third dimension, are you ready? Have you become a tithe? You see, the whole point of the Passover in this dimension right here, the reason they had to celebrate it was this. They were going to celebrate the first fruits of Passover. Now, do you remember this? Do you remember this? There's a first fruit in Passover and there's a first fruit in Pentecost. Now, what was the difference between the first fruit of Passover and the first fruit of Pentecost? Do you remember the green ears of corn? Remember that? They weren't mature. Yeah. But they had to bring, watch this, of all their fruits and vegetables, their harvest, whether it was fruits and vegetables, whether it was cattle, sheep, whatever they were raising, they had to bring it all to God. And oh, by the way, if you wanted to hold back or buy back, what was the cost? 20%, a fifth. Are you with me? So watch this. You give $100 because that's you made $1,000, you give $100, you want to get the $100 back, it'll cost you $120 to get it back. See, it doesn't make sense in money terms, right? But it might, you know, I gave 100 sheep, but it's going to cost me 120 sheep. Are you with me? The thing about it is, and this is the interesting thing, especially American Christians, we don't want to know exactly anything about it because then we don't feel we're held accountable and we can pick and choose exactly what we do. But the thing or the reason he stuck this in initial salvation was to show the condition of the heart. Has it really progressed beyond circumcision? Has it been made whole? Are you with me? And the thing about it is, if we don't keep the Passover, eat the whole lamb, right? Eat the whole feast, encompass the whole feast. Because look, there was first fruits, weren't there? And there was also what? Unleavened bread. Can't have any sin in the camp. Can't miss the mark. And watch this. If we don't give of the tithe. And I know this makes people feel uncomfortable, but I don't really care. I hope it makes me uncomfortable. Because you know what's interesting? If you go read, he says, they give of the burnt offerings, they give of this offering, that offering, and the tithe. So the truth of the matter is, it's more than 10% even in the Old Testament. And I've said this all along, watch this, if you can't even give 10, which is the starting point, you'll never give 100, neither will I. And watch this, I hate to say this to me and you. If we don't do it, we're covenant breakers. Just saying. What's the big deal? Why do I need to know this? Look, we have a choice. We're either going to encamp at Gilgal and stay there. Better yet, you can't cross the Jordan. These are not options. These are absolutes. Now, if you think I'm just talking about your money, look, you're going to miss what God's really saying because you'll never get to the point where you can give of yourself. Yeah. Are you all right? And I don't even like saying this, but if I went to Malachi, what would Remember the question God asked them? Hey, you guys are stealers. And what did they say? When did we ever what? Rob from God. And he said what? In your tithe and offerings. Did he not say that? He said you broke covenant. Your tithe and offerings. Passover, that's why they had it. He could have put any other feast there, but he didn't. They crossed the Jordan on day 10. They had the Passover on day 14. They got circumcised in between. Look, you can't enter the land without being circumcised and being made whole, because you will never be able to fulfill Passover, because it won't be in your heart to do what God asked. Just saying. I wrote this down. This is not just for people in this room. It's for all of us. It's for everyone. Don't take what belongs to God and spend it on yourself. Because isn't that what they did when they started rebuilding the city? That all the money came, the blessings. And what happened to the house of God? It laid in waste while they were trying to build what? A house of their own. You dwell in your what? Sealed houses and your, I think it actually says white fences, doesn't it? Isn't that interesting? We love white picket fences. At least some people do. Tithing's not a tenth. It's the first tenth. And that's where tithing begins. That is the minimum. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Keep your finger there and turn with me to Genesis chapter 14. I wanted to read these two verses. I'm going to stop after this. I actually have two more points, but I'm not going to read them today. I'm just going to end here. I know it's early. That's okay. Genesis 14. You know the story? Abraham went out, and the first thing he did is he had a battle, and he beat, what, five kings? And when he came back, verse 19, it says, and he blessed him, and he said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of what he determined was the amount. No, he gave him tithes of all. Yeah. We need to take the approach, and I'm not trying to get more money. I'm trying to make sure that you and I understand this. I don't even care about your money. I don't even take a salary. I don't even care. I'm trying to get you and I to understand this. This is the heart of me, that if we don't walk in the uprightness of what God wants, we'll never cross Jordan, and we'll go by the wayside like everybody else. I don't mean just a physical death. I'm talking a spiritual death. Are you with me? I'm just saying. This is kind of a heavy message for Mother's Day. I have a question. How many mothers do you think will die today? Death doesn't stop. It doesn't care what the calendar says. Well, neither does the pursuit of God and what he's after. Well, preach me a message. It'll make me feel good. I can do that, I think. Are you with me? What I really would like to do is burst the rock of humanity that would say, where is God? Your God. Because I want to show an expression of him, not just in an individual. It's not just me. I'm long. Look, I'll take care of all of this when we get to Bethel, but let me tell you, God is not after the individual any longer. He's after the corporate anointing. All right? Turn with me to Proverbs, and I'm all done. Proverbs 3. You ready? Now I don't have time, and I could take time, but I won't, because I made a promise. I'm going to try and keep it. Here we go. Verse 9. I like this first word. Honor. Honor. If we don't have integrity, we won't honor. Honor. The Lord. with thy substance. Does anybody know what the word substance means? Your wealth. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. That word is income. Why are you telling me this, preacher? I'm telling you this is because they celebrated the Passover at Gilgal when they came out of Egypt, got circumcised, and God rolled back all the reproach of the world. They were no longer considered uncircumcised, even though they were in the church of the wilderness. They were now circumcised and could come into the land and be able to, I'll talk about it on Wednesday night, watch this, manna stops, and they eat from the mature corn of the land. Amen? I wonder what would happen if they didn't celebrate Passover, get circumcised, so God could roll back the reproach. Oh, I'll tell you, they'd have kept wandering in the wilderness. The wilderness of churchianity, church life. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand. Glory to God. Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for your life and your spirit. We thank you, God, this is a day we can celebrate moms. Lord, you have declared that the new Jerusalem, the church, is the mother of us all. This is what really counts, God. That we can become pupils, disciples, children of the Most High God, being birthed through your woman, your church, your way, God. You've decided it. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We praise you and we worship you. And all the saints say, amen.